It is my great privilege to welcome this morning Father Hurd, who's originally from Alexandria, and he is a personal prelature of the Anglican Use Catholic Priest in the Archdiocese of Washington. So welcome this morning, Father Hurd. He will be downstairs after Mass if you'd like to get breakfast, and he's selling a book, and a book signing will be there. So I encourage you to go talk with him after Mass. I would like to start off with a little disclaimer this morning. And you know, growing up in rural Nebraska on a cattle farm, there are two ways to get cattle to move. The first way is you can entice them with luscious, green, fresh-cut alfalfa. And the second is you can use a sorting stick. Well, this morning, there will be no fresh-cut alfalfa. And the reason why I say this is because in this morning's gospel, we have the continuation of the Sermon of the Mount. And as you are aware, the Sermon of the Mount, it occurs over three chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. And the last three Sundays, we hear Jesus preach this epic, this glorious sermon. And he starts out with the positives. He starts out with the fresh, green-cut grass. And he tells us about the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. So he talks to us about the positive aspects that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And blessed are you. But today's gospel, he uses the sorting stick. He warns us about the judgment, about certain sins that can lead to the damnation of humanity. And he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who struggle with anger, adultery, lust, he warns them that the fires of Gehenna exist. So today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to reflect with you, what is hell? And does hell exist? And if hell does exist, does God, a loving God, condemn people to hell? So first, what is hell? We know in the Old English term, in the Anglo-Saxon, the original definition of hell means that it was a hidden place. In the Gospels, the metaphors are used that it is an exterior darkness accompanied by wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's also been called an everlasting fire and a second death. But Jesus uses the word Gehenna. The word Gehenna is a Greek term used to describe this valley outside of Jerusalem, the valley of Hinnom. And in this valley, they would throw their trash out of the city and they would burn it. This valley outside of Jerusalem became known as Gehenna. And as the last judgment occurred at the end of time, this valley would burn eternally with the souls of the damned. So, hell is a state where people are eternally damned. Once you're there, there's no getting out. Hell is a place where we know that those people who are unrepented of their mortal sins go to suffer because of the justice of God. Now, hell is a state of complete separation from God, from the loved ones of heaven. And hell, there is no love. Because God is love. And in heaven, we realize the fullness of love. Hell is the absence of love. And we cannot freely choose to be united with God in heaven if we love the things of this earth. God has made us for love. He has made us out of love. And He asks us to respond in love to Him, to our neighbors, and to ourselves. And in today's gospel, He warns particularly about three different types of grave sin. Grave sin that disrupts the glory of love in our human lives. And for humans to love, we must love with our intellects, we must love with our will, and we must love with our passions. So the first thing He warns us about is anger. Those who are angry are contrary to love. Now, the great philosopher Aristotle, he says, there is such a thing as a just anger, that some people, naturally, because of their personality, their disposition, are more prone to anger. This is not the type of anger that the Lord's talking about here. Because we also know that Jesus had a just anger, that He went into the temple and He flipped over the tables because they made His Father's house a market. But what anger does He talk about here? He talks about the anger that seeks revenge, the anger that is bitter, the anger that exists sometimes between close family members and close friends, the anger in which is contrary to love, because love is communion. Love is peace. And He says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So when we become angry at our loved ones, we allow ourselves to be judged and are liable, possibly, to the fires of hell. So the first thing He warns us against is anger. Secondly, He warns us against the sin of lust, the sin of adultery. Because love, and He says in the Beatitudes, that blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Love must be pure. In order to love, you must see God through things. You must see the human being in the presence of God. You must see God in the presence of human beings. For love to be real, it must be pure. In every glance of our eyes, in some ways we want to know things. Sometimes our glances, they're not neutral. Our eyes are the windows to the soul, and how we come to know things, and how we come to exploit things, and how we come to desire things that are not ours. Love must be pure. And that fidelity of love that exists between a husband and wife, it is procreative. It brings new life. Love brings new life. Love must also be unitive. Love to be pure is procreative and unitive. And blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. And the final, he warns us against the sin of duplicity, the sin of lies. Those who project themselves to be in one image while they live a double life in another way. The sin against truth. And this is the sin in the intellect. When we say something, but we mean something totally different. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I are in the image and likeness of God. And by our baptism, we are sons and daughters. When we sin, we make ourselves liars. You and I are called to love God in truth. And in truth, we come to know Him. For you cannot love what you do not know. So love must be pure, it must be in communion, and it must be true. This is the essence of love of God in heaven. And hell is the absence of love of God. So then the question may be, secondly, how could a loving God possibly allow someone to be in hell? Isn't God's mercy greater than his justice? St. Thomas says that God's punishment is a work of mercy in itself. For those in hell deserve to be punished greater than they are. And it's a work of his mercy that God does not punish them greater. And it's a work of his mercy that people in heaven, they don't deserve what they're given in heaven. But because of his mercy, it is given to them the beauties of love in heaven. And finally, does God condemn human beings to hell? The answer is no. God has an unconditional respect for our human freedom, for freedom of the will in order to choose. We are made in love and for love. You and I have the gift to choose. As we heard in the first reading today, choose life or death, good or evil. The choices that we make in this life will lead us to either our eternal reward or our eternal damnation. Listen to the words of the church father, St. Ambrose. He says this, "A man is rightly called a king who makes his own body subject and by governing himself with pseudo rigor refuses to let his passions breed rebellion in his soul. For he exercises a kind of royal power and does not let his passions breed rebellion over him. And because he knows how to rule his own person as king, so too does he sit as his own judge. He will not let himself be imprisoned by sin or thrown headlong into the wickedness of hell." End quote. Hell is not so much a threat to be hurled at, but a challenge to oneself, in which we challenge ourselves today to choose life, to choose good. This is why Jesus challenges us in the gospel. Unless our righteousness surpasses those of the scribes and the Pharisees, we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today lies a choice: life or death, good or evil. Whichever we choose today shall be given to us in eternity for tomorrow.